You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Once upon a time, in a magical castle, the king's daughter was locked away in a tower.
You made a promise to me
that your daughter will be my wife.
I'm not a piece of property to be traded.
But these guys with the wrong princess.
I like a girl in lace.
Hello! Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. I am Quinny. I am joined by wonderful people. Man with beard, who are you?
Wait. What? Well, no, man last. Oh. Lady first.
What? Wait. Okay, fine. I'm waiting.
No, I said man last, lady first.
Oh, right. My apologies. Sorry. Ladies, you with the more auburn hair. Hi. What is your name?
Oh, Christ. This is too vague.
They're never going to know which one you're talking about.
I don't fucking know.
Look, age before beauty. Hi, I'm Jill.
Easy done.
Oh, no.
No, I respect the game there, Jill. It's like, if you guys aren't going to make a fucking decision.
That would make me Peter.
Hi. Excellent.
And I am welcome. Useless. I am that guy that keeps crawling up the tower who was there for comedic value, but oh my God, it was pointless. Anyway.
Excellent. Hi. We are kicking
show your hand early.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. No, do you want me to get him out?
I have a much stronger hand to play about that. I'll just
play poker with my cards around the other way.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Because I'm happy to do that this one.
Okay.
Anyway, how are you all?
You know what?
You all lovely people. It's a lovely, wonderful time, and everyone's sort of recovering from illness, and it's an exciting month because it's August. It's beware the auguries of gust.
What?
I'm very well educated.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Anyway. Pete, Jill, how are you both?
Seen better days, honestly.
Good.
It's only Tuesday and I'm counting down to the fucking weekend.
I think it's important to recognize when things are shit and say they're shit and we're here for you.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. We're all here for you. This movie, maybe not so much.
The look on Jill's face, which is a beautiful face with a smile that says, "I'm just holding this shit together." Yeah, exactly. So I think it is very important that we recognize that and say, "We got your back, Jill," and we will make this a conversation, hopefully, that is worth having. Peter, how are you?
Oh, I'm really good, actually. I've just looked over the chat and realised that people are being nice to me, so I'm just, dealing with that.
Oh, yes. We should probably wave a flag.
Yeah.
And kind of, shout out to the fucking the badass here. The Emmy Award nominated Peter, The Industry.
Yes. Do we have any news from The Industry?
No, The Industry, the little fish that caught. Puff got nominated for two news and documentary Emmys this week. So that was very nice and kind of unexpected news.
Yeah,
right. So it's been nominated for the Cinematography Award and Best Nature Film.
Yay! So
that's pretty cool because we worked real hard on Puff.
Yeah.
You worked your ass off.
I'm really excited to hear that the sequel's been green lit and you're finally doing Puff 2. The Reef Can't Take It No More, and we get to see the gritty teenage action movie that the first one, definitely led into.
I'm
100%. There's going to be a lot of violence.
I'm super excited for it. Like I'm imagining something a little Mad Maxy. I'm imagining Puff with his little black, the eye makeup and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Puffiosa.
some excellent name suggestions in the chat. Too Puff, Too Furious. Yeah. Puff Two, Too Reef, Too Rough.
I like Puff Two Aquatic Boogaloo. That's kind of
yeah.
This aquarium ain't big enough for the both of us.
Ren 0780 is saying you can literally jump a shark, which I think if we did try to make a second film, that would we would be jumping the shark very early on.
Underground, Underwater Fight Club.
Yeah. Yes!
Underwater Fight Club! Half the Underwater Fight Club.
And then at the end of it, he could have a lovely relationship with somebody and for setting up for the third movie, Puff Daddy.
What about Puff?
I love it because I got two of the exact reactions I wanted. Peter laughing and Jill just going, oh.
What about Puff?
I mean, a dad joke about dad jokes is always
exactly.
What about Puff 4, Continental Drift?
Oh, I like that one.
we have got such a series for you, Peter. And we'd all like to be credited as executive producers on the ongoing Puff narrative.
Yeah. I mean, if I get Puff for Continental Drift up, I will definitely produce credit all of you as executive producers.
I'm down for that. Let's help that. Make that happen, Internet.
I'm going to start working on the posters. In the next week, there's going to be a series of posters coming your way that are going to be amazing.
Oh, dear. What are we talking about tonight, folks? Being it Tuesday, and this one definitely scheduled. I hope you've all done the homework. The homework came out, and it's on the thing, and you can see the
came
schedule.
Out on Saturday.
Yes.
Shut up.
Yes.
It was still technically August.
It's a 90-minute movie. It's not that much time commitment.
It's like 90 minutes. Not.
I noticed that Rob had actually just finished the homework before.
Good for
just
you,
now.
Rob.
So well done.
Well
Rob.
Done.
I do like the chaotic energy of finishing your homework as you're sitting in class waiting for it to start.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
that's
then
called
saying,
time management.
Yeah, the dog ate my movie. I'm sorry. Yes, I love it. So we are talking about the movie The Princess, which is on Disney Plus, which technically makes her a Disney princess.
Which also is technically very difficult because if you just Google search randomly The Princess, you get a wild variety of different answers to your thing that you put
in there. And let me tell you, we're not reviewing the movie about the Princess of Wales. Which is also a film called The Princess, which makes it really fucking difficult.
Then I have made a terrible fucking error.
Did you watch the wrong film?
I was like, why are we doing something about Princess Diana? I don't know. Someone else made the call. I'm happy to do it. Not really on brand, but all right.
Look, we love Kirsten Stewart around here. What can I tell you? Yeah.
That was Kirsten Stewart? No. All right, okay, sorry.
Oh, yes.
The princess.
But talking about on brand, we actually were thinking about reviewing The Gray Man, but I got to say, this movie's not that far removed from the content of The Gray Man.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I was actually thinking very much the same sort of thing.
It's very, I kind of was like, oh, well, we'll do The Princess and we won't try and double up and do other things and there's a lot out. And also The Gray Man is very mediocre. to be honest, and this was a surprising bookend to the,
mediocrity. I love that you're still trying to keep your shit behind. Your cards are still up here.
Yeah, I'm just. I'm there. Whoops. Oh look, the princess. It was an interesting time.
It was 90 minutes of interesting.
But it's
time.
Also, it's not like, it's not technically a Disney princess, or it's only a Disney princess because of financial ownership rather than intention, because it is a 20th Century Fox/Hulu production,
yes.
Which is strange. But of course, Fox owned now by Disney anyway, because everything's owned by Disney. I'm not quite sure of the background of the film and the production. Interesting thing. I'm gagging to hear your thoughts. Mine's kind of here.
You've wanted to say things a couple of times. I've seen you go, and then stop.
Oh no, I think I'm just emoting, but.
Oh, right.
just facial expressions like this going.
It really kind of just started off guns blazing. There was no you know, fucking around with any kind of preamble on a story. It was just like, here's the movie. This is what is going to happen throughout the entirety of this movie. And it was okay.
Yeah.
It was cool to see a girl kicking butt. I always enjoy watching that. As for the rest of the story, it was all just a matter of convenience.
Yes. Who suggested this?
I did.
You did? Oh, okay.
Because we had planned to do The Gray Man, and I'm like, yeah, but it's just an action movie. Why not do an action movie that's about a princess? Because that feels a little bit more on brand, and there's probably a lot more to dissect in there than just whatever The Gray Man was about.
Hi, I'm the Gray Man. I'm a movie about toxic masculinity and punching each other.
Not unlike the pitch meeting where they're like, oh, what does that remind me of? Oh, yes, every other movie.
genre. So I haven't watched that pitch meeting yet. I'm going to do that. I will say, like, the Gray Man does sit in that thing of being like, yeah, it was a perfectly serviceable action film that was exactly the same as every other fucking action film that you've watched for the, which is why it's perfectly named. It's not a black, you know, it's not whiter. It's not anything memorable. It's just gray.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's got a sequel coming and a spin-off comic.
Oh, fucking,
well, this is the
I would say yay, but my husband died in the movie, so no.
This is the problem that I have with watching. Like, I love this has become a low-key review of The Gray Man as we're moving in.
It was always going to, dude. You know,
but
that.
I mean, the Gray Man was just this weird lump of a film that costs fucking spectacular amounts of money. It was Netflix's most expensive.
But it beautifully showcased all of those dollars.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it beautifully showcased all of this expenditure. Like, I mean, accountants and production people must have been just going, oh, man, you know, the budget on this must have been astounding.
The drone cinematography alone.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That would have cost us millions. Meanwhile, the rest of us are going, yes, but plot? Why is he a gray man?
The drone cinematography wouldn't have cost that much. It was just somebody having a little bit too much fun with an FPV.
Well, there's that, but like, then you look at it in comparison to, is it Ambulance? The
Michael Bay one.
Yeah, where there was just drone shit everywhere. And I love it that there's a certain like level of cinematographer and director now who's just like, I can make the camera do what?
Yeah. Those drone transitions really kind of felt very much like we can do this now.
Mm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cool. Yep. I know. Yep. I can see you can do that. Well done.
Yeah. Well done. Good on you. But it reminded me a lot of the early days of CGI where people would just throw CGI in because they could. And it's like, we've got it. You can do it. You don't have to do it all the time. And in fact, you're doing it to me. Stop it. Stop. I feel really weird now. Stop it, please.
I'll tell you about a movie that has bad CGI. The Princess.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing it back, Jill. Well done.
Thank you so much. Because, I mean, I just love that someone else saw that too. Because every time something CGI happened in this film, I was like, really?
Did you ever want to see someone on flames that wasn't on flames?
I was watching, like, okay, out of anecdotally, I put RoboCop on while I was doing something else on the weekend. And in that, there is that really strange falling from the building that the main evil suited bad guy does. And his arms are distended, weird, long things like something out of a Monty Python sketch. Even that, I thought, was more convincing than any of the CGI in The Princess. But I also want to say the fight scenes I really enjoyed in The Princess, which is some of this weird stuff where I'm just like, did you just not have any money for CGI?
I think you could probably leave it at the start there, which is, did you just not have any money? Because, I mean, it's – you know, it's a reasonably well-made film, but it's clearly shot on a budget of 9/10 of fuck all. Like, in comparison to most of the other films that you see around these days, like, this is what back in the 90s or whatever we would have thought of as direct to DVD.
And the thing that I'm having a like slightly a slight of issue with, the rest of it doesn't look like a direct to DVD movie. The rest of it's quite well made. Like, there are parts of it that are beautifully shot and organized and smart.
Peter's face says otherwise.
I'm with you, Pete. Like, Pete, don't go. I'm with you with the
I
negative
said
stuff.
Nothing about the princess thus far in the conversation, so you just continue.
Just reading your facials. It's exciting.
But I mean, the thing is, I don't know where this has come from because I don't understand enough about the production of it. Like, there's very limited information about how this got made and where it was and how much it cost and all these sorts of things. So it's just kind of like, oh, here's a movie that got made in the background, and like, it was in 2020, so in the middle of COVID, and it kind of got made, and I just don't know the information around it. I kind of feel like you're right, they had no money for it. But if they had no money for this, I'm like, astounding work, well done, excellent, kudos to all involved. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, but it feels like a big budget picture, and there's some significant letdowns in it. Although, you know, it's fun. Ish.
Should I tell you what it's about?
Sure. That's probably a good idea. Yeah.
Can I have a musical bed?
I don't really know. Was there any music to this film? I can't remember any sort of stuff from that at all. No?
What about that horrible cover of White Wedding?
Close enough. I'm just waiting for it. Yeah. When a strong-willed princess refuses to wed a cruel sociopath, she is kidnapped and locked into a remote tower with her scorned, vindictive suitor intent on taking her father's throne. The princess must protect her family and save the kingdom by kicking everyone's ass from the tower down.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's where we're at. Like, this is, you know, essentially what? The raid, but...
No, it's a reverse Enter the Dragon.
Oh, fuck, it is too.
She's going down to the up.
It's a reverse Ong Bak 2.
Are you talking about the car park fight in Ong Bak?
No, that's literally a tower in Ong Bak where he fights his way up the tower in a 10-minute long sequence.
I thought it was down and I thought it was a car park. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Perfect recall of perfect scenes.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very good at this.
Much like the princess, I remember every single fight that she had during that insufferable tower thing, including the inexplicable Golden Knight.
Mm-hmm. I mean, inexplicable a lot of things. Like inexplicable a lot of things, honestly. Yeah. Like, inexplicable loincloth man would probably be the first inexplicable that I would go for. Like, what is the climate here? Because, like, between Golden Knight and loincloth man, yes. Is it cold in the tower? Is it hot in the tower? Who knows?
Geographically, like, I'm not sure where this place is set. Is it cold? I
love you, Peter.
I hadn't thought of that.
I love that your takeaway from this is, what is the climate?
I have a much bigger rant.
Do you know what?
That's just me dipping my toe in the
water. I'm just going to call it. It was cold. I could see his nipple hard.
Yeah.
That's how it was. Also, did everyone notice that he came back later as a totally different character?
No.
Who got murdered? I was like, that was the guy from the start. Like, he's dead. Okay, fine. Like, people aren't going to notice. But I was like, wow, that was that main baddie from the start of the. He's dead. Great. Sure. But yeah, I mean, come on. Tell me any of the background hench people. Like, all of them were the best of NPCs that you've ever seen in anything. Like, it's like, oh, we can just, here's your briefing as a background character or as like a henchman character, is you're all the same. You all growl and then you scream and then you grr and you want to do evil things and that's it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Not exactly a big brain of a film, let's be honest.
No.
And I gotta say, I am disappointed because I love Dominic Cooper and he was just reduced to a mustache twirling cookie cutter of a villain.
Okay, let me do my rant. Let me do my. I've got
that
to
was
do
like okay. super yeah. pedo as well, by the
oh,
way.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that oh, was yeah. some fucking creepy shit going
He's
on.
He's 44 and she's technically in this.
She's 20.
I'm more worried about him being quite willing to marry someone else.
Oh, the younger sister yeah. who's like 12.
Exactly. Like that's wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, but
I mean, that's probably period accurate.
Yeah. Like, I was going to say, has anyone actually read any historical accounts of monarchists? Societies, yeah, because that's pretty right. Sorry,
Pete,
go for it.
I was kind of excited to watch this because I'd seen the trailer and I was like, cool, subvert the princess narrative, have girl kick ass a bit. This could be really awesome. And I think about half an hour into watching it that I began to have that kind of creeping feeling that something wasn't quite right. Yeah. So I jumped onto the IMDb and just had a check. And she's directed by a man. It is written by two men. It is produced by an all-male producing team, and not one key creative on the film is a female or not identifying as a man. Now, the reason I kind of twigged to the fact that this may be a female-led story that has been conceived by men was the Dominic Cooper character, because they were making such a big deal about, like, oh, but he's really evil. No, he's really, really evil. I'm like, I don't need to know how evil he is. She's been kidnapped. She's fighting her way out. I need no backstory. Like, I don't care if he's a nice king and has kidnapped her, like she has been kidnapped and is fighting her way out. I don't give a shit about her family. Like, I don't give a shit about, like, having to see how the evil caricature of this character they've created to justify what she's doing. Like, no further justification needed. She's trapped and she's fighting her way out. Done. Yeah. I would have liked this movie with none of the other scenes except for fighting her way out of the tower. But when you take a concept like this and you're expecting kind of like subvert the princess narrative, like that's a super cool idea, and then you realize that it has been completely conceived by men, you start to see like somewhere between like a male violence fantasy and an overcomplicated striptease. And I just started to get more and more annoyed at it as I kept watching it. So I stopped even enjoying the action scenes, some of which I accept were quite cool, and just started to get increasingly more pissed off.
Yeah, I gotta say,
much like the princess,
not happy about the I've got to do all of this to prove myself to my father.
But we get to the end and I was
can't
like,
be accepted by my own father because I am a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just so obviously an idea conceived by men and executed by men that I was not able to be excited about the fact that the protagonist is a girl and she's kicking butt. And, you know, the weird fight-based striptease as she went down a tower was my first clue as to that. And it didn't get as bad as I thought it was going to get.
No.
But still.
Yeah.
That is my rant, and it was hard for me to see anything other than that, to be honest. I started to really switch off.
No, fair enough. I think it, like, yeah, conceptually it sounds like a fun thing. Like, the idea of the damsel is not in distress, the princess does not need to be saved, the princess is going to kick seven shades of shit out of everybody on the way down this tower because princess can be badass and fuck everybody. Yeah, great, cool. But yeah, as you say, like it starts to really lose its shit when it's like, okay, now we're going to introduce a whole bunch of proving yourself, and
not just proving yourself, like having, like being violently beaten by a parade of much larger than you men, which fine, because she's beating them back and winning, but there's still kind of an element of like, this is just 90 minutes of violence against a woman. Yes. Kind of like remember last night in Soho, where I was like, this would have been fun if it wasn't a man making entertainment out of the terror of a woman.
Yeah.
There was something that was a little bit fetishized about, you know, leery, creepy men trying to attack a girl.
Yeah. Over and over and over and over again.
And they were all caricaturally, like, leery and creepy.
So, like, I mean, can I ask one question? I mean, there are many questions. There are many questions about this film. And, like, there's a lot to enjoy about it. One of the questions that I asking was, when the orders came down to make sure that the princess was, you know, being able to be presented to get married at the wedding, which was the intention of the entire film, why did they forget to tell all of the guards to not hurt her or maim her or try to literally murder her the entire time? Because everyone in that film wasn't just trying to capture her. They were trying to hurt her and stab her and put, you know, blades in her and all those kinds of things. And I was just kind of like, this makes almost no sense. To a certain point where I'm like, they're all trying to murder her. Instead of
the point
her.
Of her being captured is to force her to be wed to the king.
Sure.
Who might not want a bloody pulp as a wife.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, but hey, drawing at those straws, yeah, I'm just like, yeah, there were fundamental issues that exist within this film about how it was made and who it was made for, which I think are absolutely valid, you know.
What I saw it being, and I thought what I was going to get was a Jackie Chan style, you know, like, some, and got to say, there are some really cool action stuff in there. Like some of the fights are really creative and there's some really cool stuff in there. And I was hoping for a lot more of that. And I was hoping that we'd get like a cavalcade of really smart, cool fight sequences that, you know, continually show her as being super, you know, competent. And then, you know, we had to bring in another character to be the other strong fighting woman. And then we also have to have Olga Kurylenko's character in there who, because you have to have the evil woman to fight as well.
Yes, because you have to have the scene where all of the girls fight each other.
Exactly.
Because somebody's having a weird chick fight fantasy.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, it's that thing is like, I saw the trailer to this and I was like, oh, this looks like fun. Interesting trope change. It's about a princess rescuing herself or a princess being the sort of thing. And I mean, I love that anyone is complaining about, oh, yeah, this is bad or why did this get made? I'm like, the hundreds of fucking movies that star any number of male protagonists who do the exact same shit.
Yep.
You know, except they just fight people of the same gender. You know, it's usually like, oh, I have to defeat the king. You know, why? Well, mainly because I'm angry that they killed my family. In this one, she actually has a reason. You know, I'm here to save my family because everyone else is useless and I'm not a victim. And then in the end, she just ends up becoming, yeah, a punching bag right the way through. And it makes sense, except that it doesn't pay off well. And I want to get to the ending later, maybe in the spoilery section.
Did you guys have anything, like, as I said, some of the fights are, you know, well shot or at least well choreographed. Did you have any favorite bits that did work for you, or did it just become kind of like, why am I watching this?
I don't know that I can remember anything that particularly stood out. I thought it was kind of even the whole way through. There wasn't like too much up and down in terms of the fights. They were all pretty amazing. They all like kind of, what am I trying to say? Like they were all had their own merits and there was something about each fight that I guess had a point of difference to it that was made it kind of cool.
Yeah, it's like in this one she uses the manacles. In this one she's using, you know, some of the strapping from her clothes. In this one she's stealing the swords from these people. And at one point she gets to use the sword that she's been gifted and is trained with and, you know, is amazing, and then she loses it. And I'm like, okay.
How does she just also change into a more convenient outfit at that point?
Yeah.
Like, that's obviously her room. She knows where the sword is.
No, I did have that thought.
I mean,
a lot of layers.
I absolutely loved watching this go through and just accessing the tropes that have been used elsewhere just with different protagonists. Like, I mean, I was kind of watching this going, oh, great, I know where I am now within the first 5 minutes. She's the hero character. She's going to beat the fuck out of everyone and it's going to be good. I wonder if she's funny. I mean, she, like, Joey King gives amazing scream face. Like, action star, yes. Is Joey King able, like, do I believe that she's fighting and going to take these people out? Yes, 100%. Yeah. And that's one of the hardest things to do. She sold it. I was there going, oh, yeah, she's a great kick-ass princess.
And also, though, they shot this, and I'm guessing that she put in the work, because there was a lot of the time I was like, that's her. You know, that you're watching, you know, weekly TV fights and stuff like that, and it's like, ah, now we've cut to the fighting body double because their head's down and they've got a big wig on, you know, and they happen to be doing a lot more capoeira. I don't know why.
I love the bits that were totally action movie tropes. Like, you know, she right at the start, she ends up saturated because she has to hide in the bath, ridiculously. And defeats that guy. And I was like in the corridor, like the, you know, the first Minotaur guy. And I was kind of like, oh, that was a, you know, relatively cool but dumb fight scene. I'm down for it. She's moving off. I bet you the next scene she's totally dry and her clothes are done. And then very, like, she's literally got out of a bath sopping wet. And the next scene is like, oh, her hair's kind of damp, but her clothes are just, you know, kind of dry. And there's not leaving any wet footprints anywhere. And I'm like, perfect action movie. They've learnt from the best.
No.
Do not let, like, basically the poor continuity person, whoever is sitting there with the script book and all of their markups are like, no, but they're like, whatever, moving on. Next shot, you know. But yes, I like the fight scenes in this. They were good. Do you know why? Because they were dynamic. They were handheld when they needed to be. They were locked off when they needed to be. And I could tell what the fuck was going on.
That is very true. And I do like that.
And it was, as you said, there was the people in the scene doing it. And they sold it. And that's why I respect this as an action movie.
Yeah. It's funny. I saw somebody, one of the people from One for All, which is a web series, who shared a video of a terrible piece of action editing, and I don't know what it was from. It was some fantasy thing, and it was cut to shit. It was, you know, within the first 10 seconds, there'd been 30 or 40 cuts, and you were just like, oh, fucking whoa. You know, jumping all around the scene because, you know, whoever was editing it desperately wanted to show you everything. This one had some restraint. It knew when to pull back. It knew when to get in close. And the great thing about it is that it knew how to keep the dynamic movement, like, and also at the right speed, because there's nothing worse than watching a fight scene that you go, I know this was shot at a different speed and they've sped it up. This was all done in a really, like, and I think somebody in the chat made the point that you could tell Joey King had done her training.
Yeah.
Like, she had worked her ass off to get to the point where she was a very, very competent martial artist. And as he said, also then up against Dominic Cooper, who looked like he'd kind of just fucking showed up on the day and was like,
I love that all the dudes in this film, like, really just phoned it in. Like, just from the top down, it was just kind of like, do I have any motivation? Like, yeah, you're evil. It's like, great. There's a bit, oh man, okay, there is a bit there at the end, and I've got to say, where there is a shot of Joey King facing off against Dominic Cooper where she's like at that point. Not to spoil anything too much, but I could not look away from the extra in the background whose job it was to try to, like, I mean, the briefing must have been like, yeah, look, just look like you're restraining the crowd. Like, you're just trying to hold everyone back from doing this. And the greatest thing, that guy was giving it his all, but no one else was straining forward against it. And I was just like, yeah, he was just kind of like, oh, should I do this? Like, and the problem was, it's like literally, he's directly behind Joey King. So if you ever watch it again, you'll just notice that extra and you'll be like, dude, you know, I blame the second AD on that one, because I'm just kind of like, it's your responsibility. It looks like, it looks terrible.
Direct your extras, for God's sake. Or not just that one extra, featured extra.
Sure. Sure.
You I know, mean, he was given it his, you know, his all.
There's plenty of dumb in this movie, but like, mm-hmm. there's also plenty of great sort of stuff. Like, I mean, I look at the, I watched this in the same way and gave it the, you know, the rope, as it were, to either hang itself or to rescue itself, like pull itself out of the quicksand. And I'm just kind of like, ah, oh, man, like you did some amazing fun shit of like, oh, that was fun, to some other, wow, that was incredibly dumb. You know, I kept trying to pick it apart while I was watching the thing go, like, you know, I'd see a fight scene and I'd be like, oh, it'd be cool if she spun the helmet around and that made him blind, but she'd probably not. Oh, no, she did it. All right. Okay. Yeah. Faultless.
No notes.
Like, you know, no notes on that one. Someone's actually looked at these fights and gone, okay, where is she? Where is she? Where is she going? Like, where is she in the scene? Where does she want to get to? And how does she get there? And how do we do that in a smart way? And that is rare enough in any other sort of action movie, but this was just a smart decision. It's just sorry that it was like stitched, like all those moments were stitched together by terribleness.
Honestly, if this movie was just the fight scenes and none of the rest of the movie, I would have thought it was really, like I would have really enjoyed myself. Because it
how about instead of, yeah, instead of, oh, she's being wed to someone that's twice her age and against her will, blah, blah, blah. How about there's a siege and I'm at the top of the tower and our home's being invaded and I've got to do everything I can to save the family. Like, why do we have to have this disgusting
sexual imperilment.
Yeah, why does it have to be save the family as well? Why can't it just be a save herself?
Well, what if she lived on her own? What if she was a cat lady?
Exactly.
Also, the idea of you know, and this is the sort of thing that you do find in like, you know, a traditional action thing of person wakes up in room, chained up, and then has to work out why the fuck they're chained up and, you know, escapes from said room and realizes, oh shit, there's an entire tower full of people I've got to fight through to get any kind of fucking answers.
Yeah. And you discover, you know, the whys through context clues, you know, as part of the action. You don't stop the action to do stupid flashbacks.
You could do a great thing with this where she starts in that room, is trying to work out what she's doing and, or, you know, trying to get down, gets to about halfway, meets a prince who's going up and he just, like, ignores the prince, keeps going down. He's trying to, you know, go and save her, and he's like, "Yeah, whatever, fuck off."
You're already rewriting this in a much more interesting way.
Sorry, say that again, Pete. We lost you.
No, my internet is being interesting, so I don't know if I'm talking over you. But I think that's one of the reasons I did get so annoyed at it, because I was like, I can see something great could have been done here, and then, they tried to do plot instead. Not well. Poor Dominic Cooper, because that was not a well-written, well-rounded character at all. And then also there was like just a movie-length returnable fat joke, which, as you know, is one of my favourite things in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but just no, it's not clever. It's not funny. Why do we need that right now? Like, that doesn't help the movie.
No.
Yeah. No, it did absolutely nothing for the movie.
Never came close to being funny. Like, if you put a really good comedic actor in there, you could at least maybe kind of make it land, but it, like, even the very end, you're like, nope, still not funny. Good.
Well, this is the thing. Like, this film isn't a comedy. And, like, It does. It's because none of it, the rest of it is treated as a comedy. Like, I mean, it's not a sort of slapstick good time fast, because
I think immediately that's the problem with some action films now, is that they think they have to insert jokes.
Yeah, because Deadpool was successful. But, you know, that just those kinds of things. It's just like, oh, come
like
on.
Like one-liners and
zingers. And the thing is, I mean, that's sort of been the action hero thing for, you know, since the 80s, is that you get the action hero who has a fight and then has a one-liner. You know, Schwarzenegger, all of those guys, you know, that is the format. Is it, do we need to repeat the same format if we're trying to break the mold and do something different? No, probably not.
No, I mean, even Conan, though, had, like, where he punched a camel. You know, that's kind of like the rest of it was all like, nope, definitely this is science, like, you know, medieval fiction, except there's one point there where he punches a camel.
By Crom.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's strange.
I don't know. I get the distinct impression that we're all fairly much of a similar sort of ilk, which is it had so much potential.
Is there anything else you want to say nice about it in this before we go and see a clip, and then we'll come back and we can just really drill down onto the bits you didn't like?
It is nice to have female-led action films, and as Phil has pointed out, you know, we probably wouldn't have got this film even 10 years ago, but it would be nice if we're going to have female-led action films if there are also females on the key creative team, so that they can actually achieve what they set out to achieve, which is really hard to do if you don't actually have any of the experience of existing as a female-identifying person.
I'm just trying to find Fel's comments. She wrote a very nice piece that I actually wanted to find.
Oh, well, you can keep going. I like that everything was in focus. No, that's game.
I liked the first shot of her in the tower, that kind of Sleeping Beauty-esque. The production design was nice. The shot was nice. Those first couple of fights were nice.
I like that there was that sort of starting goal of it too. It's like she starts off as the beautiful textbook princess in a tower and then progressively just gets dirtier and hardier as she's literally doing the thing that all princesses probably want to do, which is go, what the fuck, and fight your way out of it by using every resource that she has, because she is a very strong, capable, wonderful female lead that is more than capable of holding their own on the all the way through this, because, yeah, she doesn't need to do anything because she acts like all of her acting is physicality and earned physicality. She doesn't need to go through all of the reasoning. And when she does have lines, yeah, they're great. They're sort of she's got some good dialogue in there of kind of, I like the bit where she's discussing with Dominic Cooper about like, yeah, I can't wait to get married to you.
that's the clip we have.
Yeah, yeah. So that's great. But unfortunately, just bookended with some stuff and some, in a terrible bit at the end there, but she's wrapped in some amazing things, like, you know, the good the bits you want, which is the mentor, and I don't want to go too much into the mystic,
come back to that
mystic oriental person.
Well, yeah. And the oriental mysticism was another part of it that I kind of went, we're heading towards a trope that do we need to be going down that path?
But
probably
I still sold on it. So in the sense, it's like there's some really great bits in there that could have, quite rightly, as you've said, is like, yeah, if only there were female creatives on this team to just go, hey, actually, what I want as a woman is to see this, and what if I was a girl, I wanted to see this.
Yeah, I'll just go, we don't need the king to be an evil caricature. Like, just the fact that she's being kept against her will is plot enough.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. I found Fel's comments on it. So Felicity, our producer, said it's hard to see this movie being made without the TV renaissance of streaming. It'd be unlikely to get the wide distribution in theaters, and they probably wouldn't have funded it straight to DVD. It clearly had budget limitations, that lamentable CGI, that may or may not have related to it being a young female starring actioner. And while there are clear criticisms, the film does kick open the door for similar content that's been itching to get to the screen for like 30 years, like Tamora Pierce's Song of the Lioness franchise, which is currently in development. As ridiculous as the film can be, it's great to see a female-led action film that isn't about the protagonist rescuing her daughter or though in this case there is a little sister. But
yeah, that was one of the things where it started to grind towards the end there. I was like, ooh, and then right at the end there was a moment where it was like, what the fuck?
And she just says that she's glad that it exists.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's good or not, basically.
Yeah.
Right. I reckon,
like, just normalize women just looking after themselves.
Yeah.
We do it every day.
You don't have to be protecting the little sister or the little brother or the whatever.
Yeah.
Fight for your own sake. Yeah. Fuck knows you got to do that every day.
So I'm giving it 55 out of 100.
Dion's straight into the fucking numbers. Look at him go.
There you go. Give us your out of 100.
Yes, drop an out of 100 in the chat. And I'm sorry, I'm just writing my notes. I wasn't expecting you to get into it that quickly.
No, I know. Look, absolutely, like, worth seeing for the fight scenes. And Joey King is great. And it makes me want to go and find more Joey King action movies, which is Bullet Train, which is one that I was like, yeah, I'll be fine. And now I regret it completely. There you go. Made me regret. But who's going to go and see Bullet Train?
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about that later, because if, Dion, you want to see Bullet Train, I'm happy to.
No, I have happy to so, relinquish much, my spot. So much on in my life at the moment that I'm just going to watch it a bit later.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. At the moment, I'm like, just give me a night off. Just one.
I'm going to go with 65 out of 100. Again, because the fight scenes were great and I thought Joey King was cool. And, yeah, the rest of it can kind of just suck a dick.
I was really happy with the non-romantic subplot for main action heroine.
Yeah, I was glad there was no.
Just because there could have quite easily been like one where she just did something with a. Yeah, although I kind of would have liked right at the end there for her to just grab a random hot looking peasant boy and just pass him and then move on.
No.
Moving on. Sorry. Apologies. Yeah. Apologies. Again, male writing something that isn't for him.
Yeah. Right. Pete, have you got a numerical value for this bad boy or girl?
I mean, I don't know how many. Because I was so. But you're right. I mean, Joey King was good. And action choreography was good. And there were fun things about that. So, but I was still pretty pissed off. And like minus another 10 points for the fat jokes. And for that reason, I'm going to go to 48.
Ooh.
Well, it lost to 10. It would have been 58, but lost 10 points for fat jokes. So new rule. New rule of mine.
Love fat it. Jokes,
fair enough.
10 points.
No, I agree wholeheartedly, even though you may have frozen. Oh, no, you're back. I tried to enjoy it. And I really, started and I'm like, yeah, cool, action fights. Yeah, action fights. And then it did be like, there's a lot of action fights. And now there's a boring bit. And then there's a flash. Oh, and come on, give me another action fight. Oh, and another boring bit. Okay. So, yeah, for me, I'm going to straight in the middle 50. It was definitely, I wanted it to be so much better than it was. Mm-hmm. And I think the concept of what that film is in my head is so much better than we actually got. So, yeah, there you go.
I think that's one of the reasons I'm so mad, because the concept is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love the idea of a fully female-led martial arts actioner that, he's no holds barred and just goes, fuck yeah, and kicks ass all the way through. And this ain't it, sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Everything Everywhere All at Once was kind of that.
Yeah, and also had the benefit of being super smart and really clever and creative as well, but,
And heartfelt. All right, okay, so we're going to go to a clip and come back and do some more spoilery things so you can drop stuff. I know that some people in there are like, so when is the spoilery bit? I need to talk about some.
You all know when the spoilers come.
We've done this for 280 shows.
Right, a little over, but.
Which clip are we going for? We're going for the I Was Born This Way one, yep. Or are we going for the fight in the dungeon? Because I mislabel them and I have no idea what I'm about to play.
Hopefully it'll be the Born This Way one because it's the more interesting of the two.
Yeah, let's hope it. If not, we'll stand by to us to drop back and me go, sorry, other one, let's just come back. Anyway, what clip are we going to get?
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Oh, nope, absolutely wrong. That's the one of...
You had a 50-50 chance.
50-50. I get, I gambled and I lost. Okay, back on to the real clip.
What on earth happened to make you end up this way?
I was born this way.
You were born to be my wife.
I look forward to it.
Oh, you do?
At your side. Every day. At your service every night. It's like something out of a fairy tale. For me.
and for me.
A nightmare. You learn to sleep with one eye open. To never turn your back. I'll be in heaven. Just thinking day and night of ways to kill you. And you'll be in hell.
Hey! Whoa! Slow down there. Tech's not going back again.
You ain't gonna watch that trailer one more time.
Yeah, no, I got. Oh, hey, I ain't done there. Done no. Put up some spoilery goodness. There we go. Alrighty. Wow. Well, there's my Joey King English accent because I really disagree that her accent is doing passable English.
It's very specific regional English.
Yeah,
accent.
I was just kind of like, oh, her accent's sometimes a little bit ropey, but that's okay. That's not the problem that I have with it, and I'm going to go straight out of way. Can I ask a question? And I need you all to help me understand here. Why in merry fuck did the king not give her, like, his daughter the crown at the end? Because it's kind of like, that's what the entire movie was building to.
Piece
like,
of shit.
Oh, dear fucking.
I was watching that sequence and I saw the crown and I was like,
just do it.
Just put her on
the
fucking head.
Just give her the fucking crown.
She's the king. She's the fucking king.
Yeah, yeah.
She literally saved your ass.
Yeah. It's already bad enough that you have to give her the crown.
Yeah.
You know? It would have been better had she picked up the crown and then gone to... and everyone just would have looked at her and she just didn't look at her father and then just put the crown on and the crowd would have gone, yeah! And I would have been like, yeah, that's fucking great. That's right. Yeah. You're the queen, king, whatever. You rule now.
And then she turns to her dad and goes, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? You did nothing? You got fucking invaded.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck around and find out, dad.
See, we could remake this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean,
yep.
Apart from that.
What a way to completely fucking undermine your main character and the entire concept of the film in your final scene.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to recut this film and take out all of the scenes that aren't Joey King. So, like, none of the unnecessary context, and then just finish the film when she picks up the crown.
Yeah.
Yes.
Done.
So what, like, how long is this? Sorry, how long is the princess? It's kind of 80 minutes, 94 minutes. So if we cut this down to a solid 60 minute and we get rid of all the shit, then it would probably be a much better film.
Rob makes a good point. Did we actually know what her name is?
Rob does make a good point because if none of the characters were named, then this doesn't technically pass the Bechdel test, which is kind of funny.
No, actually, her name is the princess. It's never actually named. Dominic Cooper is Julius. Olga is
Moira. We learned Violet, the little sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, Violet, the princess's sister. Yeah, but that's it. That's absolutely it.
And yes, Pretakenga, because maybe somebody watched Kill Bill and, you know, but even the bride had a name.
Yeah, eventually.
Like, yeah.
Well, she's just Beatrix the princess. Kiddo. Who didn't...
I mean, there is a trope, there is an action movie trope about, you know, the man with no name, the hero that doesn't have a name. That's part of that thing. So I can almost kind of go along with that if that's what they were going for. But
then again, like, I mean, the film starts with the great promise and premise of, you know, wake up, oh my God, got to fight my way, you know, to the end. What do I do? And then it just sort of never relents. And then the only times it does relent, it just doesn't add anything else to the rest of it. Like, you establish that whole idea that she's going to fight her way through the tower and it just keeps adding in more shit that you're like, we don't need any of that. Like, I don't need, you know, explanations. I don't need her to change tack at one point and go and rescue her sister because, you know, evil person is even eviler. I mean, this person has just literally invaded and everyone is pillaging. Thankfully, not a lot of raping. That was kind of good.
It got dicey for a minute.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I mean, like, usually in those sorts of things, it would just be like, oh, everyone's being horribly done over. Like, they were just stealing, like, lots of theft. Thankfully. But by the time you got to the end, yeah, it was all like, why did you make so many smart decisions all the way down to get to the point now where you're like, oh, okay. Now you're just making decisions that don't match your entire thing.
Did anyone else have a weird thing with Moira, Olga Kurylenko, that I wanted her to either be more interesting or more badass or something? Like,
that was the problem with all the villains. They weren't interesting.
Like, she's got a cool whip with a knife in the end, but at the same time,
Yeah, and also, she's Dominic Cooper's girlfriend. Like, who cares?
It's also kind of like a trippy thing where, like, yeah, she's like the bad guy girl is, you know, the king's girlfriend who doesn't want to give up her power, and she's a seductress, and she's, you know, like femme fatale. And I'm like,
dominatrixy.
Dominatrixy. And the dominatrixy character is the evil character, which is like its own different set of problems. And
yeah, she's the character from The Crow who, you know, is the bad guy's girlfriend, and there's always the bad guy's girlfriend who is the mystical one or the one who, yeah, it's just,
yeah.
And I mean, okay, cool. Why couldn't you want a good trope, but not the shit tropes.
Why was the whip impervious to the sword?
Yes.
I didn't understand that. How could she stab through chainmail? It was literally chainmail. Chainmail is designed to stop stabbing.
Because the chainmail was actually fabric.
True. Can someone please fucking explain to me how that golden knight was just hanging out in a dressing room?
And apparently standing there.
Yeah, yeah. Like
waiting for somebody to come through.
Of all of the invading army, even the guy with the minotaur helmet and the loincloth who took a piss, I mean, great. We got to see it. You know, it's like, oh, cool.
Because sometimes when I'm at the office, I'll go to the kitchenette and just make a cup of tea just to buy some time because I don't actually want to work.
So the golden knight who's got the giant sword has just
he's looking like he's working, but he's actually pretending.
Has found a dressing room / closet, and he's just decided, you know what? That wall over there looks like a perfect place for me to stand for the rest of the
day. I'm just going to stand over here just in case they come through.
Yeah. And if I stand here like this, nobody will notice that I'm having a quick snooze.
Oh, no, I've died of unconvincing flames.
But he also fell out the window.
Yes. Sure.
So if the pretend fire didn't do it, yeah.
It was the bad miming.
Oh, dear.
And there's so another thing that I think would have been more fun, because, and I think, like, I felt like we were starting to do it, that you setting her up against a bunch of vaguely memorable bad guys, you know, that you go from Minotaur Helmet guy to Golden Knight guy, and I kind of like the idea that we were going to get a bunch of memorable fights that each one had something about it that was, you know, different and interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, the next one was like the three kind of super fast ones that all had different weapons. And I was like, oh, we're gonna do that kind of thing where it is a bit game of death where, you know, he's fighting caricatures or
mini bosses. You start off and you fight mini bosses till you get to the big boss.
And then somewhere along the line they just went, no, we're not gonna do that. Now we're going to do that bit where you just have a big long fight and you down a big, you know, spiral staircase, and it's a bunch of nobodies. And
the dream of a line of collectible action figures died halfway through.
I mean, like, I was
fuck you, Jill, for seeing directly through what I was wanting.
I was sort of confused by this whole idea that, like, what we have to do is like knock out a girl and take her to the highest point on the highest tower that exists for no particular reason. But they like the strangest thing is there always seemed to be like this tower and then a whole bunch of rooms off the tower. Like I just didn't understand how the physics worked. Because occasionally she was in the tower and then she'd come out of a room and be in like a long corridor and then she'd go mysteriously end up back in the tower and start to go down like 60 stories. And I was just kind of like, this is strange.
And briefly traveling through secret passageways that maybe were just only on that level.
Yeah, those things would just be absolutely chock full of rat shit.
Yeah. I mean,
not as beautiful, but I mean, hey, we're trying not to pick it apart too much. I mean, it's like I watched the Taron Egerton Robin Hood thing.
Oh Jesus. We could pick another movie apart.
Yeah, like I mean, like why am I being so harsh against the princess? I watched that.
Yeah, like,
for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and also I've watched the King Arthur one. The one with Charlie Hunnam, King Arthur Daly.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, how you going?
He's all right.
Yeah, I'm good.
He's a geezer.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
The evil king's a bit of a magician. You know? He's like bad Merlin. Anyway, yeah. Like all of that shit comes out and people are like, oh, yeah, fine, just a blockbuster, go and have it. I'm like, yeah, no, this is fine. You know, if a girl is angry at shit, like, I mean, I feel like if you had a teenage daughter who was just really pissed off at things and you didn't know what was going on, I'd show her this and be like, yeah. And she'd probably come out going, yeah, I want to take sword lessons. I'm like, cool. I'll give you arms now. Amazing. But I don't know.
I also got really annoyed when they got to the weapons room.
I am astounded by the amount of fire that is freely available in this castle that they just do not monitor.
Yeah.
And just giant vats of oil just conveniently sitting around.
And the arm room, it's like, oh, hang on, let me just turn the light on. Oh, it's a trench of oil I've lit on fire.
Yeah, that goes all around the room and everything. But then she chooses the least interesting weapon in the room. Just a sword. Boring ass sword. And I was like... You've got the opportunity here to level up and, you know, show cool shit that you can do, you know, increase your range of the cool things that you're allowed to do in your fights. Nah, okay, fuck it. We're going back on boring our sword.
Good. Yeah, why?
Yeah, if they've got, you know, mystical orientals in the movie, why didn't she have any nunchucks? Or like one of those... sides on the end of a chain or a
Kusari Gama. Yes.
Thanks, Quinny. I knew you nerdy ass would know that.
So why
you weeb.
I think Peter said, is it Peter you said earlier, is like, why didn't she was in her bedroom, why didn't she get changed into her like proper clothes and out of the stupid wedding dress that she'd
Because but when she tore it, it was a perfectly hemmed dress. Why would you need to?
But I mean, the flashbacks when she was doing the training montage, which I, you know, totally appreciated, like had her in an outfit that was totally appropriate, you know,
tight,
flexible, you know, gave her somewhat protection. She could put on a little bit more armor, which would have been fine. You know, I'd like put her in all of that
then
stuff.
Then they couldn't have kept slowly removing more pieces of her wedding dress.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That they did that. It was just
symbolic, but, you know, also just kind of, like I said, feels like an overcomplicated striptease. It just goes for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
do we have anything else that we need to say about this? Because I feel like we've kind of tapped out on
I like that she changed her shoes almost immediately early on.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Like I get, like this is what I say. There are some really smart and accurate ways that they were like, oh, how would this person move from A to B? Why would they not do X? Like someone is in there thinking out these things and making sense, which is why when it moves off that and it just makes random decisions, is why I'm just like, oh, what is going on here? Like, yeah, it could have been brilliant, like a brilliant kind of amazing film that you would be like, oh man, that's fucking kick ass, and it's kind of a sleeper hit, and get out there and see it. And this one's just like, oh. I liked her scream face. I believe that she wanted to kill me. Like, if I ran into her, the princess, in a corridor with a sword, I probably wouldn't fight her. I'd just get out of the way. I'd be like, you know what? No, you're in there.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, she is a good action star, and I'm hoping that now they kind of look at it and go, right, let's find something really solid for her to do, because she can carry the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
But the sad thing is, I mean, if you look back, we've had so few great martial arts action women. You know, you got Michelle Yeoh back in the 80s, you got Cynthia Rothrock. You know, we need more of this, and I hope that that's the thing that this can lead off to. But yeah, I just wish it had been a better jumping off spot, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway. Oh,
my gosh.
And no Black Widow landing poses. Good point, Rob.
That's fair enough. Yeah, the princess. Look, go and see it if you want to. Can't wait to hear.
It's on Disney Plus right now. Yeah, you've got nothing to lose.
Jill and Peter's thoughts on.
Yeah, you're already paying for the streaming. Yeah.
On Shinkansen.
Oh, look, don't get me started, because when they use the. Like, they wrote it in Japanese, it doesn't even say Shinkansen.
Oh, God, what does it say?
Bullet or train. Oh, fucking murder me.
Jason.
Just.
Come on. Try. Just try. Like,
I'll set my own pie on fire.
We have interesting stuff coming up this month. Hope you're all enjoying the homework and the stuff that we set. We kind of, what do? We did a lot of movies, because it gives us a slight break of having to watch a lot of things, and some shows. We do not have a show next Tuesday, but we do have a show next Wednesday. Yes, that's right. Because we're going to see, we're noping out of the show next Tuesday. See what I did there? Yeah. And coming back on Wednesday to do The Sandman. So,
which I'm very excited about.
Interesting. I'm curious to see how that translation is. The Sandman is out on Friday. You know what you're doing Friday. You're going to watch The Sandman, because we're all be watching the fucking Sandman.
No, I'll be watching Blackbird.
We'll be watching Blackbird and then The Sandman.
I don't even know what you're talking about. What's Blackbird?
Just but trust me, Apple TV, Blackbird, trigger warning for bad things happening to young women.
Yeah. What are we rounding out with? Obviously, Nope on the Tuesday after. Finally, getting around to Prey on the 23rd, which seems a little bit late. But look, that's out on Friday for you all to watch too. So.
And we're going to go and watch it on Thursday in the cinema.
Yes.
Which I'm excited about, because I'm very rarely have I got a chance to watch Predator films in the cinema.
Yeah. Join us later in the month where we discuss what it's like watching it in a cinema, and then maybe on a streaming service. And then Paper Girls, which is out now on Amazon.
And you could start doing the homework on Paper Girls right at this very moment.
Sure. And some people have been asking, I know, in some different areas, like, but what about the Orville season 3 and like all this other stuff? And I'm like, well, maybe if there's a Friday in there somewhere and people get keen,
we feel
enough,
like doing it,
we'll have a chat. But anyway, yeah, get on to the homework. Thanks very much. It's been interesting.
my internet appears to have completely shit itself, so I'm just going to talk and wave and say thank you so much for joining us. I'm not even sure that I could try and start a raid because the internet is so terrible.
Your internet is absolutely abysmal, Quinny, and I have asked you many times to get that seen to, but unfortunately
this one's definitely my computer.
Get a new computer, that's all I've got to say. And if anyone would like to donate to the Ko-Fi, you could maybe help fund Quinny's new computer or perhaps better internet for him. Or I'll just embezzle the money and keep buying Lego. I don't know what I'm doing with it. No, it's all right. I don't actually have any access to the Ko-Fi. I think that's on someone else's account. So no, I'm not embezzling it to buy Lego.
No, I'm now back up to normal speed, and this is what happens when I click to another window. We will go and raid Barjo, who is playing some Elden Ring.
Oh, Adsky's in there offering to build you a PC, Quinny.
Oh,
that's nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm pretty sure they're not offering to pay for it.
No, but. No.
Is Adsky down with the sickness?
Everyone's like, sure, but this is why we have
all been down.
This is why Quinny's got an Amazon wish list on his Patreon, or is it his OnlyFans?
As we have discussed many times, I'm totally down for an OnlyFans. I'm all for a good quiche.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. But it's lovely and nice to see everyone in chat. Thank you, chat. You're all lovely people joining us to hear what we're banging on about. Yes. Hope to see you next Wednesday.
Don't forget.
Tuesday.
Yes, if you come here on a Tuesday, we won't be here.
Won't be here. Do I have to put up some sort of screensaver that's like, we're not here tonight? Tomorrow. Yeah, probably. Come back tomorrow. Right.
Anyway.
Right.
Enjoy the rest of the week, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.